Hallelujah. Renewal, refreshing, restoration in a season of abundance. Renewal, refreshing, and restoration in a season of abundance. That's this year, church. I'm excited about tomorrow. It's Thursday, and I've been waiting for Thursday for a long time. But it's just about time to rule and reign. The men of valor are putting notes in your hands that ask a question, power or authority? And we'll be going into the word tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. Y'all practicing tomorrow night?
No, sir.
Nope? Okay. I want you to understand that God is not looking for a people who are trying to be spiritual. And you don't have to be in some kind of spiritual trance or dimension for God to move. I sat down last night to watch television. Now, I know there was a time where if a minister admitted that he watched television, there would be a pulpit committee meeting after church to get rid of him. I grew up in the days when it was called the one-eyed monster, television, all of those kinds of things. But you see, there's nothing in the earth that is a threat to your relationship with God unless you allow it to become one of those giants that eclipses God in your life. Because I found I could hear from God in amazing places. But I sat down and I turned on the TV, and as is the course lately, there wasn't that much on TV. But I'm sitting there looking at the TV and I said, Daddy, you haven't talked to me yet about tomorrow night. Now you got to understand, I'm sitting in my comfortable chair. The one-eyed monster is talking to me. And I just simply said to Daddy, you haven't talked to me about Wednesday night yet. I've got a stack of sermons on my desk that I have started and never finished because they were things that would come alive to me, but I could never get clearance on when they were to be given. And so I just write on them, and every once in a while the Lord will give me something else, and I'll pull one out, and I'll write on it some more information comes. But I'm sitting there, and as you know, I keep a notepad wherever I am. If I'm in bed, there's a notepad on the nightstand. There's one next to the porcelain throne. There's one next to my comfortable chair. There's one next to my lavatory. Wherever I am, there's a notepad and a pen close by. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord began to speak to me about what I'm going to share with you tonight. And I just grabbed a sheet of paper and started making notes and writing down what he was saying, what he was talking about. I want you to begin thinking about the fact that no matter where I am or what I'm doing, I may be washing the car, mowing the yard, washing dishes, I may be doing the laundry, but if I will open myself to God, he will meet me there. God is always waiting for you to open the door for him to enter into what you're doing. And I've found that sometimes when I was in a mechanical problem and I couldn't figure out how to solve something, I'd just stop and pray in the Spirit for a moment, and all of a sudden I knew how to do what I didn't know how to do, because God is concerned about the things you're concerned about. And yet, to this day, many people, unknowingly or sometimes ignorantly, treat God as somebody they visit at church when they have time to go. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the voice I hear falling on my ear. None other has ever heard. Why? Because God's voice to you is different than it's ever been to anyone else. That's why Brother Richard can't tell you how to hear from God or tell you what God is going to sound like to you, because God talks differently to different people. But God will always talk real to you and will live up to or down to your expectations, because there are some people that will only listen if God has an Elizabethan accent. Yea, verily, thus saith the Lord unto thee. And there are other people that expect that God can only do tongues, so they feel like they have to pray in tongues before God can say anything. You see, God doesn't interpret. Understand this, God will meet you at your level of faith. And if you can just pick up a conversation with God, God will pick up a conversation with you. If you can believe, you can receive. All things are possible to them that believe. Our sermon tonight, we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 1. We're going to pick up there because that's where God picked up with me. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? What was their perception of what Messiah had come to the earth to do? The Israelites had seen Moses as a deliverer. And Moses had delivered them from the Egyptian bondage. Now, after a few thousand years, well, not quite, but after many years, they're back in captivity again. Why are they back in captivity? Because they wanted a type of relationship different from the relationship God wanted with them. Be watchful today, church, that you're not trying to get a type of relationship with God that's different from the one he wants to have with you. That's why we have so many divisions within the body of Christ. Well, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic, I'm this, I'm that. Either we're all born-again children of God or we're not. And God doesn't have a Methodist way that he deals with you, and a Presbyterian way, and a Pentecostal way, and a Baptist way. He has one way that he deals with you. And that way is in spirit and in truth. What that says to me, God says, I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? One, I surrender to the Holy Spirit, so he's directing my worship, not my head. Well, what God would really like, I think, is if I was on my left knee. No, wait, I tried the left knee last week. I think the right knee. Some people think, well, if I was standing with my arms up, you don't worship God with your mind. Let me think of good words to say to get his attention. Beloved Holy Father, thou who art above all, thou who wast always and wilt always be. No, he said in spirit. I will tell you this, when you surrender to the spirit within you and listen to what is crying out from your inner belly, worship takes on a whole nother dimension than when you're just trying to say, well, I heard Brother James say this, so I'm going to say that. I was in a meeting one night, and I was ministering to people in the prayer line and came to this lady and said, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? She said, no, but I know all the words. She had been listening to what other people in the service were saying, and she had been practicing saying those words. We can laugh, but it's really sad that there are people that think, if I can say what that one said, if I can cry like that one cries, if I can dance like that one dances. And there are people at home when no one's around, and they're practicing Brother John's two-step. Are you listening, church? They're practicing what they heard Sister Gail say, because they're thinking that if I can just say the right words, God will flow through me. And you know what? That's true. But the right words to say are never the words someone else has said. They're the words God has said in His Word. When God said, I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth, that's two arenas. One, I surrender to the Holy Spirit to see what He is moving me into and what He wants to do through me. Well, Pastor, what if I don't always know? We don't always know. I was sitting there getting ready. Brother Richard said, it's time I stepped forward, but in my spirit, there was something stirring that I didn't have. And so I stopped. Does one of the ministers have something? Why? Because you don't always have to know what's going on to know something is going on. But when you worship God, you go into your spirit man and listen down here, not up here, to what is stirring. Sometimes God wants you to pray. Sometimes He wants you to sing. Sometimes a spirit of just weeping will come out, or a spirit of intercession. Different things will come out of you, and true worship is not a style, a form, or a liturgy. It is a yielding to what God is moving in you. So what is your spirit drawing you to right now? That's true worship. And to worship in truth means what God has already said in His Word. Father, I thank You that You are Jehovah Jireh, the God of all creation. You are above all, You're in all, You're through all. What are You doing now? You're worshiping God out of His Word. You have promised me that You would never leave me nor forsake me. You see, you can stir up your own revival by simply saying what God has said in His Word out of your mouth aloud. Not thinking it, saying it. A lot of Christians defeat themselves because they try to think God thoughts. It's impossible to think God thoughts because God said your mind is His enemy. So why would a person think I can think God thoughts when their mind is the enemy of the operation of the Spirit? God wants a people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not coming with a preconceived idea of what your worship is. Lord, what would You have of me right now? What's moving in your spirit? What do you feel in your belly that would be the flow that God wants from you? And then worship Him in truth is returning His Word to Him. Father, You said You are the great I Am, that there is none before You, there's none after You. Therefore, You are my source and my salvation. As you return His Word to Him, a couple of things are occurring. He is reprogramming your mind to think in a different arena from the carnal level. Number two, you are quelling the spirits of darkness that flee when God's Word is being uttered. Sometimes you can just start opening the Word of God and start saying what Jesus said. Now, I know people say, Pastor Jim, I love to do that with the Psalms. The Psalms are good, but that's a man talking to God, not God talking to a man. But you can turn and read what Jesus prayed, what Jesus preached. You can turn to the New Testament and begin to read aloud the things that God is doing through His people, and you release the power of God. Is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And He said, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority. I want you to notice that, which the Father has fixed by His own authority. You're a bunch of carnal people who are not yet born again, not yet spirit-filled, and you're trying to figure out how God operates. What have we just been talking about? The carnal mind being the empty of God. Here's some people who are thinking, well, Moses delivered us from the Egyptians. Haven't you come to deliver us from the Romans? Israel needs to be a kingdom because it was prophesied that the throne of David would be established and would remain forever. So we want that throne back because you represent the God who said that throne would be raised up. And that throne is being raised up, but not as a physical national throne, but as a spiritual throne of people who are manifesting the kingdom of God in the earth and ruling under God over creation. So that there's not one king on a physical throne, but a generation of kings on a spiritual throne, ruling each one in the area and arena that God is calling them to. I want you to notice what he said, because the Lord Jesus accused of being schizophrenic. Well, we asked him one question, he went over there. No, he always sticks on the subject. It's just the carnal mind can't put together what he is saying. I want you to notice he doesn't change the subject. He puts a conjunction in, but. What does but mean? No, it doesn't mean that. What does but mean? It means this is tied to this because it's a conjunction that joins the two. They've asked a question. Are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he answers, it ain't for you to know, but. When the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to know this. Because he will lead you and guide you in all truth, and he will reveal things that are to come. You see, you've got to remember what he's already told them, but they were too carnal to understand it. He, the Spirit of truth, when he's come, will lead you and guide you in all truth, everything that God has planned and said and prepared and is yet to come. And he will show you things to come. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, not you shall witness about me, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even into the uttermost parts of the earth. To the Jewish people, he is saying, you're going to the Gentiles, and they don't want to hear it. To the house of Israel, he is saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be led and guided in truth, and you'll know what's to come. But the Father's not going to reveal it to carnal people who couldn't understand it if he did. It's not time yet. We will serve no anointing till it's time. 6, is it kingdom, natural time yet? In verse 7 he says, there is a time fixed for kingdom, but it's not for the natural mind to know. And God did it by his own authority, his power, exousia. The exousia there means an authority that releases power. But in a minute he says, you're going to be endued with power that releases authority. I like the fact that dunamis is translated authority. But that's not the most accurate translation of it, because the dunamis that he refers to here, he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit. It is the power to know what God is doing. It is the power to be a part of what God is doing. It is the power to release what God is doing by releasing the authority that is already God's. God gives us the strength, the power, the ability to release what he has already planned to do. And so before he tells them, you receive power from the Holy Spirit, he says it's not a mind game. It's not a figuring it out game. It's a what has God stationed to occur and when should it occur. But a conjunction comes in. You can build his kingdom. Are you, Messiah, going to restore the kingdom? No, you're going to restore it after that the Holy Spirit comes up on you. You're going to build a kingdom. Matthew 6:10, you're going to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You're going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm working on a writing right now entitled The Myth and the Miss, M-I-S-S, of the Salvation Gospel. The Lord was dealing with me one day and he said, have you noticed how your spirit is grieved when you hear some evangelist say the number one job of every Christian is to win the lost? And I said, yes, I've noticed that for years. He said, have you noticed how many people instruct and teach that it's all about soul winning and winning the lost, gathering people into the kingdom, and if we get enough people in, the kingdom will come? And I said, yes, I've heard all of those lies. And he said, why does it grieve you? And that's when I just go, okay, I'm going to sit here and take notes and you can just explain it to me. He says, I said the number one job of the believer is to seek the kingdom of God. If I said the number one job of the believer is to seek the kingdom of God and its manifestation in the earth, then the number one job is not soul winning. Yet every ministry that just about that has a name for itself justifies its existence in the number of souls that have been won. There are churches that have boards up on the wall, number of souls saved this week. There are missions ministry stuff that qualify the existence of their organization by how many people are won to the Lord this year. But since the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, there have been millions of people won to the Lord, some spirit-filled, some walking in anointing and power. But how much has been built of the kingdom in the earth? But he says, once the Holy Spirit comes on you, you can build a kingdom. You'll receive power. Now, the word power is in the original text was dunamis. And if you look it up, because I did that after the Lord began dealing with me, I looked at every verse of Scripture in the New Testament that uses the word dunamis. And as I began to look, I saw this word dunamis was translated power here. But it's also translated strength. It's translated miracles, mighty works. It's translated virtue. It's translated wonderful works. So what is this power that he's talking about? Some of you might have heard that ISIS has gone in and attacked Nineveh and has destroyed the museum there to Nineveh's history and has dug up and desecrated the grave of Jonah. How did they do that? Power. They had the power to go in and desecrate the grave of Jonah and destroy the museum and try and wipe out any of the history of a man who came there with authority. Not because he wanted to, but because God had given him a mission. And Jonah came to Nineveh, and he gave the story of Jehovah, Lord of hosts, not the story of salvation, not the story of Messiah, but the story of Jehovah, God of all creation. And the city of Nineveh repented. So the forefathers of the present Iraqis had a revival because one man surrendered to what the Holy Spirit wanted to say through him. And he said, God, I don't want to go over there. Those are a bunch of vicious, mean people. They killed my grandpa. They've killed thousands. All they can think of is murder and destruction. I don't want to hang out with the Iraqis. You'd think that was a current day message that Jonah was dealing with. He said, I don't want to go because if I go and speak your word, you'll send revival. And I hate those people, and I don't want them to be redeemed. I don't want them to become my brothers because I'm busy hating them. But you see, he went in the authority of God said. And a group of heinous, murderous, bloodthirsty, evil people did what? They repented, and God did send revival, because when you say what God says, mm-hmm. not what you think is appropriate, not what you think they need to hear, but when you say what God says, God honors his word, and Nineveh was changed. Well, ISIS comes in now with power, and they dig up graves and desecrate graves and tear down monuments and museums. But can they wipe out what authority did? Because no matter what they do, they can't change that when the word of God came in a vessel yielded to what God wanted to do, that city was changed and they accepted the God of the Jews. ISIS would like to obliterate that, to remove that memory. So they came in to desecrate all, but you can't remove that memory because authority did that, not power. Jonah didn't come with a sword. He didn't come with an army. He came with the authority of God said. And he did what the armies of ISIS can't undo. Because no matter what they desecrate or what they mess up, the truth is, there was a time when a man yielded to the God of all creation, went in and said what God said, the whole city was changed. Well, Pastor, we need ICBMs and we need, you know, bigger guns and bigger tanks. And no, if we would put all of our money into high-powered gospel broadcasting systems that would saturate that area with the truth, we could do without bullets what bullets will never do. Because ISIS coming in now, killing and slaughtering, doing all that they're doing, they still can't wipe out a truth that there was a time when a man surrendered to a call and a whole city was changed because of it, even though he hated the people he was going to. But you shall receive power. Now, first when he said it's in his own power, speaking of God, his own authority, that's authority that releases power. But what we receive is power that releases authority. Only God can speak the authority. But we have the power to release that authority again. God said things to Jonah. When Jonah, that was authority. God gave him authority. No, he gave him the power to go say what his authority. And when he, in the power of submission, said what God had said, the authority was released and it changed him. I want you to get this tonight, because last night the Lord began to deal with me. The very day that it dawns on John or Anitra or Jan or Diana or any of us, the day it dawns on us that when I speak what God said for the reason he said it, God is released into that situation. Because I am filled with the Holy Spirit, I have the power to release authority. Now, I say it that way for your understanding, but actually, you're releasing authority. When the Holy Spirit comes, you have authority. But you don't have authority that you can use any way you want to. You have the power to release the authority that he's already given. So I can't say what I want to say. I can't do what I want to do. I have to be in union with what he said and why he said it. But you will receive power. Mighty works, wonderful works, miracles, virtues, strength. The very thing that went out of Jesus, you receive. But listen again, and I want you to get this, because I love the word authority, but God separated the two. Authority was God saying it, and power is us releasing what God said. We don't have the power to create the words, but we have the power to release the creativity of the words. The Lord Jesus said, I perceive that virtue, dunamis, has gone out of me. We can reach the point where we can sense the very virtue of God, but Jesus said, I speak not on my own initiative. I don't say what I want to say. I speak only what I've... The Father has the authority to say anything. We have the power to release anything he said. But when we release it, it becomes authority. God said, light be, and light became, both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm, because we know that when he said, light be, that was the mystery that Paul referred to that was hidden in God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. The devil didn't know that God had released the light of the kingdom, the light of God into the earth. And both physical and spiritual light were birthed out of his words. Man was made in his likeness to be under rulers in the earth, to release his words in the earth. Man was made to release God's word in the earth. And the Holy Spirit empowers you to open God's words and release them into the earth. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, who is me? The Word. I don't know if any of you listened when I shared with you some time ago. I know right after service when I was talking about it, Tara came up and wanted to read one of her favorite passages in this translation. This is called the Mirror Bible. It is not the entire New Testament. It is the writings of John and the writings of Paul broken down into a very, very powerful translation where he goes back to the very roots of the words. And I want to share with you, I was about to go to bed last night and the Lord said, read this out of the mirror. And so I reached and grabbed the mirror and I read this to go back, John 1:1. To go back to the very beginning is to find the Word already present there. In the beginning was the Word. But literally, if you break it down, what was being said was, to go back to the very beginning is to find the Word already present there. The logic of God defines the only possible place where humankind can trace their genesis. The Word is I am. God's eternal eloquence echoes and concludes in him, the Word equals God. Now do you understand why I suggest these different translations to you? You can go online, get this off of Amazon or one of them, but the Mirror Bible. Arch. The word used for beginning, A-R-C-H-E, to be first in order, time, place, or rank. The word logos was with God. Here John uses the Greek preposition pros, which indicates direction, forward to, that is toward the destination of the relation, face to face, far as the rain comes down. And the snow comes down from heaven and returns, having accomplished their purpose, canceling distance and saturating the earth and awakening the seed in the earth. You see, what I said earlier, God has the authority to say a thing. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to say what God said and release that authority. His authority releases his power. Our power releases his authority. And so God's word comes down. And when you speak God's word, you're watering the seeds that have already been sown into the earth. And as I was going through this, the Lord said, now do you understand what I said? And I said, what? And he said, one sows, another waters. What that means is this. Brother Brian speaks to somebody and sows a word. A day, a week, a month, a year, a decade later, Tina comes by. And under the unction to function, she speaks a word that waters that seed that was planted. And the same anointing that is in her, that was in him, that he sowed the seed, she comes and waters the seed. God gives the increase. And some of you have had this. Bob, you're sharing your testimony with somebody, and all of a sudden, they get excited about something their aunt, their grandmother, their grandfather, a preacher said, a Sunday school teacher said, and you don't understand why. Wait, I am sharing my testimony with you, and all of a sudden, it's what somebody else said in your life years, decades ago. But you see, no word of God is without performance. So Sister Gail comes by and talks to somebody, and she plants a seed. A day, a week, a month, a year, a decade later, James comes by, and the Holy Spirit says, speak this word. And all of a sudden, the seed that she planted is energized by the water he brings, and the same anointing that God was speaking when she said it, he has now got the power to release the anointing that was already there. Understand this. Don't ever be disappointed. Anitra, you go by and you share with somebody and you share with them and you see no fruit of it. That's why when we walk away not seeing any effect to the word we sowed, we go, Father, I cover that word with the name and the blood of the Lamb and it will come forth. Because no word of God is of no effect. Now, listen to me. Because some of you have sinned against God. You have sinned against God. You have sinned against the word because you said, I shared my heart out with them and nothing came of it. You just dug up the seed and rendered it null and void of effect, not because it wasn't God's word, but because you didn't believe that the word could function without you. Every opportunity you have, anytime the quickening of the Holy Spirit says, share with them, share your testimony, share a word, and then don't walk away saying, well, God, I thought you was telling me to talk to him, but nothing happened. I was expecting, you know, fall to the knees, begin to bawl, cry out to God, repent. No, understand this. You may be sowing the seed that Tammy's going to come by and water next week, next month, next year, next decade, because the same spirit that drew you to them will draw someone else to them. And sometimes that seed has to set in them for a season. I can go out and plant Johnson grass and I'll have a stalk in 3 days. There is a member of the bamboo family that if I plant it, I won't see a stalk for 10 years. The gestation period of an elephant is 3 years. The bull elephant plants a seed, but he ain't going to have a kid for a long time. It's not, you know, 3 months and she's showing already. It's 3 years and the old girl ain't showing yet. Understand this. God will have you plant a seed of your testimony. God just says, Phoebe, I want you to share this word with them. And you ought to say, just wanted to tell you, God is love. God, I feel stupid now. Why did I share that? They looked at me like I was crazy. No, become a smart farmer. Realize, I just planted a seed and it's going to come up because my Bible promised me no word of God is of no effect. If I release that word because I had a leading to release that word, I'm not going to dig it up by going away going, oh boy, did I blow it that time? I went over there and shared my heart out. They looked at me like I was crazy. No, no, no. You're going to cover it. Father, I thank you that no word of God is of no effect. I sowed that not because I wanted them to get born again. I wanted them to change. I sowed that word because I believed you wanted me to share that word. I was led of you to share that word. Therefore, I cover it with no word of God is of no effect. You had me sow that word. Now send somebody to water that word. If you want me to water it, I'll come back tomorrow and water it. But whoever you send, I'm in agreement with them that that word is coming forth in that person. Because we do irreparable harm when we dig up our seed in unbelief. You say, Pastor, you know, our unbelief isn't that big a deal. My Bible says that the very pure and perfect Son of God could do no great works there because of unbelief. How, if that affected the very Son of God, how much more will it affect your ministry? Tonight I want you to get a hold of the fact, I have power to release the authority of God, and I will not dig up a single seed. In fact, before the night is over, I may go to prayer and say, God, forgive me for any time I have failed to recognize that a seed sown will produce, whether I see it or not. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and return having accomplished their purpose, canceling distance and saturating the earth and awakening the seed in the soil, so shall my word be that proceeds from my mouth. The destiny of the word is always to return face to face. The word is to give God presence in your life. The beginning mirrors the word face to face with God. The Logos is the source. Everything commences in him. He remains the exclusive parent reference to their Genesis. There is nothing original except the word. Well, Pastor, that didn't sound like the King James. No, but it's a lot more powerful. His life is the light that defines our lives. His life, the life of the Word, defines our lives. Verse 5, the darkness was pierced and could not comprehend or diminish this light. Darkness represents mankind's ignorance of their redeemed identity and innocence. You will receive power when the Spirit of truth comes in you, is upon you, quickening you with the power of promise. What is the power of promise? That anything that God has promised, I have the power to release the authority in that promise. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes in you to come alongside you, to join together with you as a believer, to correctly and properly apply the word of truth to the challenges of life you may face. There are challenges and opposition of life that you face. The word comes alongside you to join together with you to oppose that thing or to come against it. Not power independent from the word, but the strength, the virtue, the ability to apply and enforce the words God has released. There are too many people that want power. Yes, dynamite power, dunamis power. I want to just go do it. Well, that's not what it's saying here. You shall receive power. What power? The power to release the authority of the word that's been given to you. Because no word of God is without effect. God said, as in light be. And how did light come? As a result of God said. So if we were created in his image and in his likeness, and we say what he said, we can expect the same results to come. If we are his representatives, empowered to release his authority, then when we say, light be, Yeshua said to the paralytic, take up your bed and walk. Did he call a prayer line? Did he say, give me some anointing oil, I'm going to lay hands on this cripple? No, he released the power of words. Well, Pastor, how did he know what words to release? Because he knew that man being crippled was not God's will. Why? Because God don't make cripples. I know some well-meaning and sometimes not well-meaning church people say, well, God did that to teach them something. God did that because there was sin in their life. The disciples brought that mess up to Jesus and said, is this because he sinned or his parents sinned? And he said, neither. This is the devil trying to violate God's perfect creation so God's power can be revealed in reversing the curse. I know your King James says, but this has happened that the glory of God might be seen. But God didn't make the man crippled, as some idiot preachers will say. God made him crippled. No, God made everything perfect. The devil corrupted it. But every time you see what the devil has corrupted, that's an opportunity to correct the record. Amen. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, and they were healed from that very hour. Was there a prayer line, a release of power, or did power release the authority of his Father's words? They're on the boat. Was it God's will to drown all the disciples and his son? You see, we don't have to get real deep and spiritual in this. We know that God is a God of peace. God is a God of life. The storm and the waves was an opposition to life. It was an opposition to peace and to grace, mercy and truth. So he spoke the opposite of what there was to reverse the curse. Peter and John are coming up to the gate beautiful, and they say to the man, walk. What do they do? They reverse. They didn't stop and debate whether he had sinned or his parents had sinned. They saw something that was unlike God's creation, and they reversed the curse because they had the power to release the authority of God said. Because when God said, man be, he looked at it and said it was good. Is crippled from birth good? Then you have the power to reverse the curse. Paul is preaching a sermon, and he perceives that someone sitting in the congregation has faith to be healed. And he says, stretch forth prayer line, power display. No, he had the power to release the authority because God made the hand perfect, not crippled. Peter and Cornelius. When did the Holy Spirit fall? While Peter was speaking the works of God, the authority showed up to confirm the power he was releasing in his words. Not a prayer line, because Peter might not have held a prayer line. But while he's talking about the glories of God releasing words, the Holy Spirit comes to confirm the words he's releasing, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. What is the consistent factor we see in all of these? They were releasing the words that describe the glories of God and the perfectness of our Lord. Ananias and Sapphira. Peter says, Ananias, you have lied to God, and he dropped dead. Why did he drop dead? Because he chose to violate what God was doing in raising up the church. He didn't want to bring glory to God. He wanted to bring praise to himself. So he came to church and lied, which denied the power of what God was doing, and he dropped dead. Sapphira comes in and Peter says, you're testing the Spirit of the Lord. And she dropped dead. Why did she drop dead? Because words released the power, authority of God. Yeshua says to Peter, come. Why? I want you to look at this. Peter put Yeshua in a box. He said, if thou be the Son of God, bid me come. Could he say, well, I'm not the Son of God? For this purpose came I into the earth to seek and to save that which is lost. Peter's lost. About to be really lost. And so he has come to seek and to save. And Peter, putting him in a box, said, if thou be the Son of God, bid me come. What did he do? I've already told you that this was revealed to you by God. I can't deny it now. Come. What did Peter step out on? The word. The authority that backed the word, come. Yeshua comes to the grave and says to Lazarus, come forth. Was it God's will for any person to die? Not in the natural course of things. It was with Ananias and Sapphira, with different individuals who opposed God's operation in the earth. They dropped dead because they were standing against opposing God, or in the case of one person trying to take credit for being God, and they dropped dead. So when he came to the grave and Lazarus is dead before his 120 years, then we know it's not God's will. So Messiah can say, Lazarus, come forth, because there are people believing that it's possible for him to live. There are people that are coming to him seeking that life. And in each of these cases, what was the common denominator in every one of them? Not a power manifestation, but a power manifestation. They were empowered to release the authority of God said for the reason God said it. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. But the thing you decree has to be in line with the God of all creation, because God will not allow you to create that which is contrary to his purpose, as Ananias and Sapphira found out. They were in church, and they were saying words, but it wasn't releasing God. It was releasing their ego. If you can believe the word of truth, if you can believe the word of truth, all things are possible. You see, a lot of people look at that, well, if you can believe all things, well, I can believe that this can happen, that can happen. Wait a minute. That's not independent of God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible, is still tied to no word of God is of no effect. Because when you start talking and saying words outside of what God has said and did, or outside of his will, plan, and purpose, you're creating an anti-God, because that is not of God. If you can believe the word of truth, all things are possible because thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established for you. I can do all things through the anointed one, and he and the word are one, and his anointing, which infuses me with strength or divine ability. If that same spirit of truth, that raised Messiah from the dead dwell, have residence in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it will be done for you. Can you see that in alignment with Job 22:28? If you abide in my word and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Thou shalt decree a thing. What God is saying to this body is, it is time to step in to the supernatural anointing of decreeing what God has said is possible, what God has said is his will, his plan, his purpose, to reversing the curse and breaking the darkness. If that same spirit of truth that raised Messiah from the dead dwell, have residence in you, he will make your mortal body alive with word, power, ability, and strength. Power to perform, authority to enforce. It is an authority to do, not a power to be performed. Well, Pastor, you didn't put the word performed in there. No, I wanted you to write it down so you remember it. Some people are looking for the power to perform. I want to lay hands on people. I want to lift people out of their caskets. I want to jerk people out of their wheelchairs. Are you content with the power to release the authority of God said? Or do you want to draw attention to yourself that you did it? You see, when you're releasing God's word, he gets the glory. When you're doing an act, you get the praise. A true believer enforces the word. A true believer is a conduit for the anointing. The word of truth was our Lord. The word of truth is our Lord. And the word of truth will do our Lord's deeds in your mouth, or through your mouth, or with your mouth, or because of your mouth. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive strength, miracles, mighty works, virtue, wonderful works when you release the authority of God said into a situation. You get it? Nobody nodded. They didn't get it, so I'm going to assume everybody got it. Father God, we have delivered your word to your people. Your people are being endued with power from on high. We are learning to walk in, revel in, and speak your word, expecting your fulfillment of your promise when we do so. Father, we open ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit to say the right word at the right season. Apples of gold on platters of silver that we release into people's lives, and you confirm the word with signs following. Father, I ask that from this night forward, every person to the sound of my voice is endued with power from on high to boldly decree the works of God and expect their manifest presence to come. I call you blessed, anointed, infused, a powerhouse waiting and ready to explode on somebody somewhere. Amen. Go with God.